I'm David.
And I'm Matt.
And you're listening to the Mastering Mondays podcast. Welcome back to Mastering Mondays. Today, we're diving deep into a powerful Microsoft tool that can streamline processes, gather insights, improve outcomes. It's Microsoft Forms. Joining me to explore the world of Forms is my co-host, Matt. Now, Matt, you've been using Forms extensively in your work. So can you give us a quick overview of what it is, what it can be used for?
Yeah, sure. So I often think that Microsoft Forms is completely overlooked or perhaps underutilized. So it's a versatile tool or online tool that allows you to create surveys, quizzes, response forms, feedback forms. It's great to collect feedback, to collect data and engage with your audience. So whether you're a business owner, an educator, or simply want to organize maybe an event, with Forms, you can achieve that really, really easily.
And it's quite similar, is it, to things like Google Forms and, you know, other similar things, in the sense that you publish something that is available online that people just literally call up via a URL and shove some information in?
Yeah, absolutely. And that can be internally, so you can set it so it can only go to internal people within your organization, or it could be open to absolutely everyone. So you don't need a Microsoft license to access a form and submit something through a form, which is really, really useful. And perhaps even, we might touch on this shortly, but perhaps even I'd recommend always having it so anyone can respond, because it makes it much easier if you've got members of your team, maybe they're out and about gathering data and they haven't got to keep signing back in to their Microsoft.
Let's dive in a bit deeper and let's talk about how businesses can benefit from using it. And let's look at it in the context of some specific use cases that you've seen or worked with.
So I think lead generation forms are really good. I mean, we have one on the No More Bad Mondays website where, you know, someone can just provide us with an email address or a phone number, submit it, and then we can get a notification and get in touch with them. That's maybe the simplest kind of use of forms, and it can get much more sophisticated. We've got a form on our website that organizations can use, and we can kind of, from the submission, we can understand kind of where they're at with Microsoft, you know, based on a series of questions and a quiz format, and based on kind of the number of points they get, so the number of correct answers they get, we can, you know, discover how well they're using Microsoft or what products they're using. And obviously that's all data, and that can be used to create automations and to create reports and, you know, discovering kind of on a bigger level then from all the data that comes back in, you know, where people are at. It can be used for event registration. So we also use it on our lobby application. So that's the visitor management app where people can register people that are going to come and visit that day, week, month, or year. So you can gather, you know, names, dates, who they're here to see, why they're coming. An important thing probably to remember with that, though, is the one thing Forms doesn't do yet, and I'm sure it will come one day, is allow you to look up your users on your Microsoft AD accounts. You can't go in there and go, I'm here to see David. And it kind of brings up that kind of drop down where you can select David from a list. I hope that happens one day, but it's currently not there at the moment. Customer satisfaction surveys, really good for things like that. I've actually been kind of experimenting with Microsoft Forms to see if there's kind of more that we can do with it that we're not perhaps doing. So recently kind of released a quick Microsoft Forms version of Cluedo. So, you know, you select your character, you select what room you're in, you select the weapon and all the stuff that kind of comes with Cluedo, and it kind of goes through a series of branches. So, you know, if they select the kitchen and they do this, there's one outcome. If they select the bedroom and that, it's a different outcome. And that's quite time consuming to build all those branches, as Forms call them. But actually the outcome of that is a really quick, cool little game that I've just, you know, just created from Microsoft Forms. So there's so much you can do with it. I'm sure there's many more that are going to come into my head as we keep speaking.
What about educational institutions? Is it possible to kind of leverage Forms to enhance teaching and learning and to engage with learners?
Yeah, I mean, they have recently done quite a lot of updates to Microsoft Forms. So one of the things it can do now, let's say you're in a classroom and you've got a teacher showing you something on kind of, you know, a big screen and you're all kind of interacting in the classroom. There's the ability now for a learner to complete maybe a questionnaire on their own device, and the live data, the live feedback of, you know, what they've selected is coming up on that board. So you could have a discussion in the classroom on, you know, or even online, or a combination of the two, if you've got kind of the two things going on at once, where you can simply ask a question like, what is the greatest movie of all time? And you can give them maybe five options, and they can select from that what they think. And that live kind of data is showing up on the screen. It's like, oh yeah, 20% of the classroom are saying this, 5% are saying that. So that can be really useful, particularly, I think, maybe in larger events. I mean, I don't think so much in the classroom of, say, 10, 15, 20 people, you're going to interact in that manner, because, you know, you don't really want them on their devices. You want them kind of, you know, talking to each other. But perhaps you've got like a larger event, and maybe I've seen it once, actually, where there's been a large event happening and, you know, everyone's starting to get seated. There must have been about 500 people there. And before the event started, some questions were popping up on the screens. And from there, they were answering those questions or choosing their answer within Forms, and it kind of updating on the screen. Some of them are quite funny questions, and it really got kind of everyone like interacting together while they're kind of waiting for the event to start. So that was a really, really useful thing. Feedback at the end of sessions. So, you know, if you're about to leave the classroom, maybe the teacher would put a QR code on the door. As the learner's going out the door, they scan the code. It takes them to a feedback form for that session, and they can feedback on how they got on in the session. So there's a couple of ideas, I guess. And there's definitely plenty more. Parent surveys, you know, and staff surveys as well, even.
Okay, I mean, that's a really good explanation of how you can use it. And I'm sure lots of people, because of, you know, their exposure to this kind of form type thing in real life, you know, in their own lives, will actually make people think, oh, okay, so that's just a mechanism for delivering those kind of forms. But can we look at some of the more advanced features of Forms, like particularly Microsoft, because there are, like we said before, there are a number of different platforms that will do the same thing. But in Microsoft, you can also integrate it with Power Automate, can't you? And that really does open up an entirely different world of possibility.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Power Automate is something that obviously keeps coming up in this podcast, but also is a super, super powerful tool for kind of like taking stuff to the next level. I've done it quite a lot with Planner, which we discussed in a previous podcast episode. And yeah, I mean, I think what Power Automate then allows you to do is really take that form to the next level, or particularly the response to that form to the next level. So let's say you're using a Microsoft form for an initial assessment, a maths initial assessment. You've got your form set up, you've got your questions in there, you've got your answers, and you've got, you know, the point scoring system there as well. They submit it, and by default, nothing happens after they submit it. It simply just goes into an Excel spreadsheet, which the staff member can download. But let's say now you want the staff member to actually get a response to say, David has submitted his initial assessment and he scored 96%. So then they can simply do that with Power Automate. They can make it go as a Teams chat message, or as I would recommend, a Teams adaptive card, which is a lot more kind of engaging, particularly for things like this. You could have it go as an email, or you could have it, you know, go into some sort of database. So maybe even as simple as your own kind of Excel document or your own tracker to know what that learner's score was. And you can do all that with Power Automate. Or you could perhaps need to split that data up somehow. So maybe they do one initial assessment, which is English. They do another initial assessment, which is maths. And you actually want to bring them together in one place, so you know they've done both assessments. Again, you can use Power Automate for that. And you know, the possibilities are really endless. But once you've got that data, and as long as you've structured your questions right and your answers or the ability to answer right, then you're going to get some really nice data out of it. And what I mean by ability to answer right is around kind of how can they answer? Is it a text field where they can type in whatever they want? Is it a choice? Or what is it? Because if you're using a text field, probably that's the one out of all of them where it's unstructured data. You can type in whatever you want. Maybe someone writes two words, another person might write 30 words. And obviously trying to report on that is almost impossible. So when you're thinking about structuring your forms or how your forms are structured, you've got to think about how do you want that data presented to you afterwards? Do you want someone having to troll through the thing and look and read every response because you've used text input fields? Whereas if you use stuff like the choice fields or the drop-down choice fields, maybe you're structuring it. You're still getting the answers you want. You know that, how did you get on in today's session, good or bad? You're still getting that response, whether they liked it or not liked it, but you're reducing the amount of kind of response or the amount of data they can feed back to you. And that's really good for reporting and for using automations to enhance Microsoft Forms.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point because, from my perspective, when I'm thinking about using it, the default way for it actually saving that information the response that you get in Forms is in a backend that is useful for small scale surveys, but if you're looking at larger scale data captures, is not really adequate because of the accessibility of the data and the way that you can interrogate it. So, Power Automate is fantastic because it gives you the opportunity to, like you said, write it to anywhere you want to. You might want to write it to a SharePoint list, for example, which you can do with a simple connector. Or you might want to write it to a Dataverse database, again, within the 365 platform. Soon as you do that, and if you've actually structured your data, like you say, not allowing too much freeform stuff, having particular fields that are choices or that are checkboxes that allows you to report and structure your reporting, there's nothing to stop you then pushing that out to Power BI and having really, really strong reporting over very large data sets and all driven from a very, very easy to configure front end.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would reduce the amount of text input fields you have as much as humanly possible. Another example that I use with an organization I work with is we allow all staff to submit requests for support. So they can go on there, they can go, well, what can we help you with? Is it the website? Is it this or is it that? And they select that from a choice. And then the next one is the type of question it is. Again, maybe some sort of choice where they can select that. And then the only text input field is what is the problem? And then what we do with that, that one doesn't go out as a report. That one then goes into Microsoft Planner and automatically assigns the right person because we've got that based on the choices. And then literally the Microsoft Planner is given the comment or the text input fields of what the actual problem is. So, it does work. Text input fields do have a place, absolutely. But if you want some really good data, what you're saying that you can use with things like Power BI, then you want to reduce the amount of text input fields you use.
So we've talked a lot about, the kind of data that you're capturing. But if this is a way of capturing data from, say, one of your external customers, then the appearance of it and the appearance of the form is really, really key. So let's say I want to create a professional looking form for my business that's going to go out to external clients. How can I brand it correctly?
It's a really good question. And it's something that I drum on about a lot. And we actually have a course available on our website or training session available on our website that's called, Turning Your Microsoft Forms into a Masterpiece. Because one of the things I see a lot, more than what I don't see, is that forms, they're so easy to create. It's so easy to go in there, click new form, and then create your form. And then people kind of seem to shove it out there and that's that. And that's great because you've got it to do what you want it to do, but you haven't really given it much thought about how it looks and feels. And that's really important. It's really important that it's on brand with whatever it is that you're, whatever it is your organization is trying to do. So on brand doesn't necessarily mean it has to be really corporate. It doesn't necessarily mean it's got to be your school colors and your school logos, or you know, some sort of like image of a classroom and everyone being really happy. It doesn't have to be that, but it does have to be a common theme. There does have to be structure to the coloring that you choose, the images you choose within that form. So I do have quite a few kind of like tips and tricks on that, and again, you can see some of these over on our website. I tend to always include either the organization logo or the logo that is appropriate to maybe the project, and that in within forms, within the kind of like standard template version of forms, it allows you to put that into the left hand corner. And then I choose my background image, and this is something that I think people don't maybe think about enough. It's easy to upload an image, and maybe it's a really good image, maybe it suits really well. So you know, if I was going to do one for Mastering Monday's podcast, I might use the image of me and you and put that in the background. But the problem with just throwing it in there is, as much as it works, your eyes are getting drawn everywhere. When you want your eyes drawn into the actual form and the actual questions that you're asking someone. So therefore, I always recommend slightly blurring the image, whatever image you use, slightly blurring it so that the eyes focus again more into the middle where your form actually is. And again, maybe little, there's no real science to say that that's going to make any difference, but I feel like it makes a difference, and I feel like it certainly makes a difference in how professional your forms look. And then lastly, but kind of not least, is the coloring. Now, you've only got the option to add one color or change one color, and that changes certain bits of the form to that color, but it's certainly as important. So again, if this was a Master Mondays form, I'd have a slightly blurred image in the background. I'd have our Master Mondays logo at the top, and the color I would use is orange. Now, I wouldn't pick just any orange that looks like it's close. I would make sure that I've got the exact right orange, that I need. So to do that, you can simply, pick the color out of the image. You can't do that on forms, but you can do that on Google. You could do that in Photoshop and find some website that will allow you to pick a color out of the image. And that's going to give you a hex color. You grab the numbers out of that hex and you put that into your form. And suddenly you've got a professional looking form. It doesn't really end there. There's loads more to it that I would suggest in that respect. And that's around sections. So, you could write question after question after question after question and not have any sections, or you could split things up by certain sections. So perhaps your first section is asking about how they found the session. And the second section could be how would they make the session even better. And then suddenly you've kind of like condensed the first screen of your form and made it more engaging, because it's not like they're not kind of looking at it going, oh my God, there's 100 questions here. Instead, they're looking at it, they're getting one or two questions, they're clicking next and they're going to the next section, and then they carry on like that. It just cleans it up nice and easy. I hate having to like scroll down on the form. I always think it's better to actually have less within a screen, and then you click next and you follow through. And of course, under the settings menu on forms, you've got the ability then to add in progress. So every time they click next, you can literally say you're 10% through, you're 50% through the form. And that's a really good way to try and keep people engaged as well, because it's telling them, oh, you're almost there. You've done X amount and you've got X amount to go. You can see the finish line, which I think is really important as well.
Yeah, well, that sounds really, really good. And it certainly sounds in line with kind of best practice that you might come across on the web, and something that would show that you're using a product that can relate directly to your company, rather than simply using a Microsoft product to fulfill, your particular need. What about security though? So you're out to your external clients or whatever, and you're using it as a data capture tool, and it might include some sensitive information. How is Forms data protected?
So first off, it's all in the cloud. Your data is stored in the Microsoft cloud, so it's secure. And obviously, like you just said there, you can control access to the form as well. So you can set it so it only works internally, or it only works, or it works for everybody. Obviously, if you set it to internal, anyone accessing the form would need to log in with their Microsoft username and password. Externally, anyone can access it. So on the one hand, it's fine because there's nothing, you're not able to put kind of like anyone else's data within there. They can only kind of see the empty answer fields and answer the questions accordingly. On the other hand, great, but then someone could still spam that, I guess. Someone could still, perhaps you've got one of your Power Automates running behind it that makes it do a particular thing, and someone's just kind of spammed it and it's doing it again and again and again and again. And that, I guess, is where you still want to control who can access your form and know that you're with the right audience for using the form as well. So, you know, we've got one open to everyone on the website, and the people that are visiting our website usually are the people that, you know, want to know more about Microsoft. So they're going onto that form and they're submitting responses. They're not, and that does trigger stuff in the background for us. Absolutely. It triggers, you know, lets me know that someone submitted a form, and you can't really stop that if someone's going to go on there and kind of spam that form. But you certainly have the control of internal, they have to log in and no one external can do it. External, just think about where you're putting that link and make sure that it's with the right audience. Is it something you want to put in a community group that everyone in the world can access? Or is it something that perhaps, you know, it doesn't have anything, you know, that they shouldn't see on there, but perhaps it's something you want to still kind of restrict a bit?
That's a really good point, actually, Matt, because one of the options that you've got if you have your data collection as focused internally is people can go in and amend their response. And obviously, if you're using Power Automate to collect those responses and you've got someone amending an existing response, then it adds all sorts of complexities to your data set. So you kind of need to treat that with some caution if you're allowing people access to their existing responses. I think probably a limitation that that I feel with it, though, is that I would very much like to have a validated email address against a response, you know, an authenticated email address, which you don't. But, you know, it doesn't in reality cause much of an issue, I don't think. It is something that would be nice, but you can absolutely get away with it in most instances.
Yeah, and perhaps you could do something with that in Power Automate. So before it kind of gets to where you want it to go, it's doing some sort of check somehow to, you know, to know that in that email address is from a source you want it from. So maybe you want all of your responses to be from people that have @normalbadmondays.com email addresses. You can set that up in Power Automate. So the first thing it does when a new response is submitted, it goes, does the email address end with No More Bad Mondays? If so, go on and do the next bit of the automation. If not, terminate, maybe even wipe that response. So that could be a way to handle it.
Yeah, I think you're right. There are ways around it. But, you know, in terms of a tool, I think it is excellent. And to summarize, you know, Microsoft Forms can be used for almost any purpose you can imagine, where you've got a simple collection, a requirement to collect information or create quizzes or assessments. And by leveraging its integration with Power Automate and customizing its appearance, you can really create a professional looking form that really fits in with your business and allows you to store the data in a sensible way and report on the data in a sensible way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and like I said earlier, you know, there is training sessions available on our website, and that really is aimed at businesses, education providers that are facing challenges with engagement, perhaps, or even brand consistency within their forms. So, you know, engagement is a big thing that we perhaps haven't touched on, but a lot of people do struggle to get, particularly learners, to submit responses and you know, to submit their forms. And there could be lots of reasons to that. But I think some of the reasons are around how you've created that form, how you've laid out your questions, how you've, you know, made that form look in terms of branding, and how you've, have you really thought about what you're asking and what's the quickest way for them to respond? Because everyone wants things to be quick as well. So, you know, use some of those question format options that are available. And yeah, if anyone wants to have a look at the session, please do via our website. And there's lots more on there as well to go from beginners to advanced. And then again, talking about question formatting, customization, and all the kind of advanced settings and things like that that are available in Microsoft Forms.
Thanks, Matt. That's brilliant. I think that just about wraps it up. All we need now is for you to create a feedback form. That when people are finished listening to this podcast, they can nip onto the website and give us a little bit of feedback.
That's a very good idea, and I'm going to do that.
Thank you.